Just like to say good morning to those that haven't had a chance to greet this morning. We thank God that He has blessed us once again to come out to this place of worship, to sing praises unto Him, and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. You know, in the old book of Psalms, chapter 66 and verse 16, David teaches us, he said, "Come and hear God." He says that all those that fear Him, and he said, "I would declare unto you what He has done for my soul." So David encouraged the people of God to come and to hear His word. And when God saves us, we all have a testimony on how that we have overcome. You know, this morning we all are building on an eternity foundation. And I just hope and pray that each and every one of us are building on that rock, as Brother Damien saying this morning, not on that sand that man built upon, but on the solid rock, because there will come a time of testing for all of us. And we want to make sure that we are building upon the solid foundation. I want to welcome those that are visiting with us this morning. It's a joy to have you with us. Just hope and pray this morning that something will be said from the Word of God that will be instrumental to all of us, that will stir up our pure minds. If nothing else, it will just cause us just to think as we journey through this life. Almighty God has been awfully good to all of us. His mercy this morning is a testament to us. And we just hope and pray that the long suffering of God will bring all of us to repentance. Have a wonderful lesson coming from the Word of God this morning from the book of Matthew. The subject that I've chosen this morning is the keys to the kingdom. And it's coming from the book of Matthew chapter 16. And we will start this at verse 13. The book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Number 13. Notice what the Bible teach. It said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bojana, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Well, let those scriptures serve this morning as our scripture reading. But before we go any further into this lesson, we always count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again while the one has been appointed to lead us in prayer.
We see in this last thing in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus had sent his disciples into the city to get a survey on what men were saying about him. And when they came back with this survey, this is when Jesus asked the question to the disciples. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the Bible says, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. And this thought had been entertained by Herod, who had killed John the Baptist. Herod, when Jesus' fame began, they thought that this was John the Baptist that had come back from the dead. Herod entertained that thought in the book of Matthew chapter 14 and verse 1. And the Bible says that, and some say Elias. And this was a thought that was entertained, that by the prophets, some will come back before the Messiah and minister unto the people. And we will see that in the book of Malachi, if we read that book, Malachi chapter 4. And the Jews, they believed that the coming of the Messiah, when he would be risen, the coming of Messiah, that's who they were saying. But Jesus asked this question. Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And the Bible says in verse 15, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And so this morning, if we want to know about Jesus, we have to ask someone that have had an experience with Jesus. You just can't go asking the President of the United States about your salvation on who Jesus is. You got to talk to somebody that had some experience, that know Jesus. You can't go to your friends and your family members that don't know about Jesus. You got to get to someone that had an experience with Jesus, that know Jesus. And so Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus turned to those that had seen him raise the dead, change water to wine. And he asked them that question. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the Bible says Peter spoke up. And Peter said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when we read the book of 1 John chapter 4, 1 and 2, John teaches us that in order for someone to make that confession, they have to be moved by the Holy Spirit from heaven. John teaches that in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. This confession that Peter made is happy of all the lips that make this confession. Those of us that have made this confession that we believe that Jesus is the Christ are happy. Are you happy this morning that you made that confession? Because you know what? The Bible says that when we confess Jesus Christ on earth, Jesus will confess our name in heaven before the Father. That should be enough to put a smile on our face, is to know that Jesus will confess our name before the Father, which is in heaven. Notice what Jesus said and Peter said. The Bible says that, verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bojana. He said, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee. He said, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, the people that were speculating on who Jesus was. Some say that he was John the Baptist. Well, he wasn't. Some say that he was Elias. He wasn't. Some say that he was Jeremiah's, but he wasn't. Some say, well, he was one of the prophets, but he wasn't. Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art God's Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says Peter was blessed for making that confession. Notice what Jesus says. In 18, he says, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What Jesus was teaching is that although that he would die, it still would not prevent him from building his church. Isn't it amazing that some say who Jesus was and he wasn't? That word some say is parallel to the old English language as we use today as they say. I heard a preacher say once that this person came up to him and said, they say that they don't like the way you preach. And I heard that they said, when you pray too long. And I heard that they said that when you sing too loud. And his preacher said he got to checking around. And to come to find out, he was talking to they say. And so you see, sometimes you see, when people come to you, they're not straight with you. And they can't be honest with you. You need to take a look at they say. Because the Bible teaches us this morning that the people were saying that some say they didn't know who Jesus was. And you know it's still today that people still today in 2018 don't know who Jesus is. And our times that we're living in. You tell people this morning that you have to be in the church that Christ established here upon earth. The church that he built, the church of Christ. You know what they say? Me and Tim, I have to go to Longwood. That's what some of them say. They don't know about the church. And when we say church is more than the kingdom, we're speaking of the church. We have to know something about this kingdom. And I know that kingdom can be contextual. Sometimes the Bible refers to the kingdom which is in heaven where God is. Then again, it refers to the kingdom of God that's here on earth. The kingdom of God that's here on earth, the church of Christ. And we will look at these keys this morning. When Peter said to Jesus Christ, thou art the Christ, Jesus says that in verse 18, he says that I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And notice what he said in verse 19. He said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we see that the keys has an office of locking doors. Are opening doors. That's the function of the keys. And this lesson, we're going to show where Peter used those keys. Jesus promised those keys to Peter. Peter took the lead on those keys. And we're going to show where those keys were given to all the rest of the apostles and to no other mortal. Just those apostles. We find this in the Bible. And you know, when it comes to salvation, you can't bank your salvation on what some say. Someone once asked a question. What authority do we have when it comes to salvation? According to the Bible, none. In the book of Psalms 3 and 8, the Bible says that salvation belongeth to God, and his blessings is upon his people. That's who salvation belongs to, God, not man. God is the one that determines how we should be saved and how our sin should be washed away. That belongs to God and not to man. And you know what? God chose water to have our sins washed away. Now, he could have chose any other solution. Could have chose gasoline. We just have to tell our smoking sisters and brothers, get back, while we baptize people. But he didn't. He chose water. You hear some people say, well, I don't see blood in the water. He didn't say see it. He said do it. And that's what we have to do, is what God teaches about salvation. Let's read on down in these passages of scripture here. The Bible tells us that in verse 20, said, then charged he his disciples, Jesus, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. When Peter made that confession. And the Bible says, from that time forth, in verse 21, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Jesus foretells his death. You know, further on down in those scriptures, when Jesus began to tell his disciples what he had to suffer and go through, the Bible says that Peter rebuked Jesus, took him and shook him, said, Lord, let this be far from you. In other words, these things should not come upon thee. You know what Jesus told Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan. You know, sometimes we have to talk to Satan. Satan is a liar. And sometimes we have to tell him, get behind me. Told Peter, get behind me, Satan. But as we look at these passages of scriptures, I want us to go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and we'll look at when Peter used these keys that Jesus promised him. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, in Acts, chapter 2, you hear some people say that the only thing that Peter said on the day of Pentecost was to repent and be baptized in Acts 2 and 38. This is where Peter used the keys that Jesus promised him, the keys to the kingdom. Because during that time, the apostles were not teaching. Peter preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost means 50. Long before Peter had mentioned repent and be baptized, he preached that gospel. He gave them the keys on what they will have to do in order to have their sins forgiven. The Bible says that when Peter preached that day, there was about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. And I want you to know that those keys that Peter used unlocked the door to the kingdom of God, the church that day. And in order to get into heaven, we have to use the keys to open the door. Those keys are designed to keep the door closed or unlock the door. Peter used those keys. Notice what Peter says in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. He said, men and brethren. And you know, sometimes it's just not the men. Sometimes it's the brethren. Don't want you to speak freely. Peter said, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us until this day. He said, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruits of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing that before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. He said, this Jesus have God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. He said, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he have shed forth this, which now ye see and hear. He said, for David is not ascended into heavens, or to the heavens, but he himself, the Lord said unto thy Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools. He said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter preached that gospel to the people before he ever mentioned repent and be baptized. He let those people know that the Davidic kingdom had gone out and the church is coming in. They had to come out of that Davidic kingdom in order to be saved. They couldn't stay there and be saved. They had to come out. Just like some of us, we were in different denominations. We had to come out if you wanted to be saved. Because the only place that a person can be saved is in this church that Jesus established, the Church of Christ. The only place. You had Buddhism back in those days, older than Christianity. Judaism, older than Christianity. Why didn't God use those religious denominations to save people in? They were there. But he said that in Jesus is where God has placed his salvation. If man wants to be saved, we have to be where God has placed his salvation. And that is in his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, you speak of Pentecost. There was a person by the name of C.H. Mason established a denomination in Memphis, Tennessee. And that's where we're originally from, in Memphis, Tennessee. His name of it is Church of God in Christ. This denomination, a Pentecostal church, they say. And I met some of those people. They come together every year because that's where the headquarters is in Memphis, Tennessee. And you know, when I die, I don't want to go to Memphis, Tennessee. I want to go where Jesus is. The headquarters of the Church of Christ is in heaven, where God is. That's where we want to go. We want to go where our head is. That's where he is. He's in heaven. And that's where we all want to go when we die. Don't want to go to Memphis, Tennessee. But I met some of these people in Memphis, and when they come to their annual meeting in Memphis, you cannot get a hotel in Memphis. It's so many of them. But don't you know that they're some of the nicest people that you ever want to meet? They'll speak to you when they meet you. They're the kind of people that when you go out to eat and sit down to dinner, you can leave your money on the table and you don't have to worry about them stealing your money. Morally decent people. But let me hasten to say this morning that morality will not save. C.H. Mason established a denomination where people cannot be saved in it. And it's sad. And all these different denominations that we see out here that exist, and I'm told now there's over 30,000 of them. Where were they that day when Peter preached the first gospel sermon? Where were they? The only church that the apostles mention is one church. And you know, the Church of God in Christ denomination, do you know when they take the Lord's Supper? Once a year. That's when they take it. They all come together once a year to take the Lord's Supper. There's nothing apostolic about that. The Bible teaches us that in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week is when the disciples came together to break bread. That's our example. Every first day of the week. And you know when they take it? It's not on a Sunday that they take it. They take it on a Monday. A denomination. It's not in the Bible. Our example is here in the Bible. Peter used those keys. And Jesus told him that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And every word Peter spoke that day, it came from heaven. It was ratified back to heaven on that day of Pentecost. He said, everything you loose will also be loosed in heaven. I want us to notice something in the passage of scriptures. As we drop down to verse 37, the Bible says, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart when Peter told them that they had crucified the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in verse 37, the Bible says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Did you know that there wasn't any long testimony about when I was a sinner, too mean to die, way over in the early of the morning, the Lord touched me with his finger? They didn't give you any of that nonsense and save me. They asked the question, what shall we do? And Peter told them. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In verse 40, the Bible says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And that's what we have to do. We have to work on saving ourselves. And as we see in the Bible this morning, that we've all were taught things. Well, I won't say we all, but most of us were taught things by our parents. And we see in the scripture this morning that those things weren't correct. We have to turn from that. Save yourself. I was talking to a cousin of mine. About 3 months ago, that passed away a couple of weeks ago. We're talking to him about salvation. And you know what he said? He said, well, if my wife can't be saved where she is, nobody can be saved. He was speaking of the good deeds that his wife does. And she does. She does good deeds. I was working with him, trying to get him to see where he needed salvation. He needed to be baptized. He was in the Baptist denomination. And he got excited about it for a while. We were studying long distance. And he would call me and want to study. And I was studying with him. And then the son came by one day and took him back to his church. And he lost his motivation. Somehow we really couldn't get back together and study the way we should. He passed away about a couple of weeks ago. See, we don't know when our last day would be. Salvation came to him, and he turned it down. But the Bible tells us this morning that as we look at these passages of scriptures, that in verse 41 said, then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And notice something in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't leave it. They stayed with the teaching of the apostles. And do you know that you have churches out here today that have put the name Church of Christ on it? Obey the same plan that we submit to and obey. And you come inside of that church building. And you know what you'll find out? They have changed the apostle doctrine. You look at the Lord's table. They got all these multiple cups on the Lord's table. Some of them have instrument music. Some of them have women teaching. I don't know about you, but we all have been invited to come in and sup with Jesus. This is his supper. This is not our supper. This is Christ's supper. He's invited us to come in and sup with him. And whenever someone invites you to supper, you don't go there and change their menu. You don't go changing things when you've been invited. We've all been invited to come in. I want us to notice something, too, in those passages of scripture here. Jesus Christ promises to build his church. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church, and it is the church of Christ, daily such as should be saved. It was the church of Christ that God was adding. It wasn't in a denomination that God added souls to that church. This was the church that Christ built. People that where people were being saved. And I tell you this morning, we can't be saved anywhere else other than the church of Christ. God has only put his salvation at one place at a time. Back in the days of Noah, God put his salvation in that ark. Don't forget that. Hear me well this morning. Everyone that were not in that ark were lost. Everyone. Only 8 souls were saved. There was Noah and his family. In these days and time that you and I live in, if we're not where salvation is, we will be lost. God has put salvation in his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where salvation is. And this is the only place that we can be saved. It's where God has placed his salvation. These are the keys that Peter used right here. He preached the gospel to those people that morning. They heard it. When he preached the gospel, they believed it. When they believed it, they repented. When they repented, they made the confession. And then they were baptized. Those are the keys to the kingdom of God. The only way we're going to get to heaven is not just one key. We have to use the keys to open that door. And if you have not used these keys this morning, I implore you, I beg you to use them. Because these are the keys that open the doors to heaven. And while we stand this morning and sing the chosen selection, if anyone is subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make the good confession.